1 Samuel chapter number 24, verses 4 through 6, sweet revenge. Among the many, many blessings that God gives us, perhaps the greatest blessing that God entrusts us to is the ability to choose. Choice is a wonderful thing. You have a right to choose where you work. You have a right to choose where you live. You have a right to choose what school you attend. You can even choose where and how to worship. Of all those choices, has it ever came to your mind that God did not give us the choice of our family? I mean, if God would have given us that choice, family, I would have kicked Rick out the family a long time ago. Serious. We all have some characters in our family.
Amen.
And those characters show up and perform. Family reunions. Christmas, Thanksgiving. When they show up, they show out too. And everything could be going well in the family until Pookie get there. And when Pookie get there, Uncle Junebug, that was already over there on the grill, he's on beer number 5 by now. All he needed was somebody to get him started. Don't act like I'm not talking about your family. I'm talking about your family. So because in every family you have characters like that, it's only natural that family members will disagree. That's natural. Now, because family members disagree, the issue becomes, how do we come back together?
Amen.
So when the family disagrees, the first thing we always seek is reconciliation. To reconcile. You know, when Uncle Junebug did that thing, we always try to forgive him and just let it go. So there he is over there crying and saying, the family doesn't treat me right. You know, when folks get drunk, they cry a whole lot. Then they start telling you stuff that don't have anything to do with anything else. But somebody in every situation has to be the bigger person.
Amen.
So that we can reconcile the situation.
Amen.
And so when reconciliation began, and your mind is squashed, it's all behind us.
Amen.
We can let go of that thing. And then once we think that things are reconciled, we always have residue. Residue is the stuff that is left behind. Where I forgive you, but every now and then I need to remind you what you did. I know I said I forgive you, but the residue is still there. The pain is still there. The anger is still there. The disappointment is still there. So sometimes what is reconciled, it comes back to surface. When it comes back up, we try to once again squash it, and we try to deal with the residue that is left behind, and even though we get past rest of it, the residue is still there. You have to be careful because resentment will set in. Resentment is when your family, who should be supportive of you, as you go out and find this wonderful job and this great career and raise your child on your own, but instead of them loving you, they resent you. I'm still talking about family right now. I haven't got to the world yet. I'm just talking about your family this morning. See, the Bible declares in Matthew 10:36, it says, now a man's foes is they of his own household. So in other words, if you want to know where your enemies are, just look around on family and friends now. They're in the house. When you want to know who is against you, begin to look in your own house. So when you begin to look in your own house, you have no time to judge somebody else's house because you understand there's some issues going on right at home. Now, the story this morning is a story about David, and it's about Saul. Now, Saul was this king, and David was this young boy that was coming up, but he adored Saul. You have to be careful when people look up to you, because when people look up to you, they begin to watch your steps, and if you're not careful, you can become a stumbling block instead of a building block. And so David is looking at Saul, and David says everything is just cool between he and Saul. But Saul secretly doesn't like David. I wonder if you have anybody in your house that secretly don't like you. I wonder if you have anyone in your house. No point. Look at me. I wonder if you have anyone in your house that the moment you begin to go through something, they pick up the phone and call somebody and say, look what's going on in her life. And she called herself a child of God, and he's always in the church. And now look at him now. Let me see what they're going to do now. I'm going to praise God a little longer. I'm going to praise God a little louder. In the midst of a storm, I'm not concerned about none of that. Because the same God that leads you in a storm is the same God that'll lead you out. Has God ever led you out of something? Have you ever been tied up in something, tangled up in something? You looked around and everybody left you, but God stepped in. Isn't God an on-time God? Why he show up in your life and make a way out of no way? Then come on and give him some praise this morning. God that we serve. The God that we serve is a God who will always show you who's around you. You see, the issue that we have is that when God shows us something, we say, no, God, that can't be true. And so 2 days later, when God has shown you something, but you didn't acknowledge what God showed you, and then somebody stabbed you in your back, I'm talking about your family, and you say, how can you do that to me? Don't you know sin has no cousins whatsoever? See, we sometimes look at situations and say, that's a family member, they won't do that. You have to look at the big picture. Sin doesn't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, none of that matter. When sin walks in, sin wants to destroy everything that looks like God. So sin steps in. And when sin steps in, you have to be careful because your heart become hardened. See, it's so easy to go through something and begin to look at the people and associate the people with the pain. The truth of the matter is, those people did nothing to you. Even in their foolishness, they were still in the palm of God. See, that's why you're still here. Because they tried to take you out, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. See, the reason that you're still here when you were going through something, they wouldn't loan you anything. But God says, I promise to supply all of your needs. That's why you still here. When your credit wouldn't allow you to borrow anything, God said, let me turn that thing and show you that you're the lender irregardless of your credit. Have you ever went somewhere to buy something and you knew your credit was no good and you thought the folk made a mistake because they approved your credit? You better thank God for his favor. You better thank God for his grace. God will jump over all of your inabilities, your insignificance. He doesn't care about none of that. When God has need for you. David is looking at Saul.
Thank you, Lord.
And Saul is afraid of David. See, sometimes you look at where you are and people see the potential where God is taking you.
Amen.
Let me show you what this insecurity does. David is the king, or Saul is the king. David is this little boy who's been on the back of the mountain with some sheep. How can the king be intimidated by the sheep keeper? How can your boss be intimidated by you? Because you don't have a college degree. You don't even have a cousin that can hook you up. Why are they insecure about you? See, the one thing that Saul saw in David was the anointing. See, the anointing of God is the power of God. The power of God is the presence of God. The presence of God is the joy and the peace of God. You may not be where you want to be, but thank God I'm standing where I am. Not only am I standing where I am, you can't move me. You there. Don't worry about what they say. Don't worry about what they try to do. Because God is ordering your steps. When the anointing is on your life, people look at you and they don't see you the person. They see the power. They see the plan of God. They see the purpose of God in your life. And when God has a purpose in your life, you better believe you may go through the storm. You may go through everything else. But you better believe on the other side, you're coming out of that thing. See, sometimes God, it seems like he turns us to the storm. And you say, no, God, that wasn't my prayer. He says, do you trust me? I know what you got to go through. Cancer, you got to go through that. Don't worry about it. It's not going to take you out. You got to go through that thing. Divorce, you got to go through that thing. Rejection, you got to go through that thing. Doubt, you got to go through that thing. Because God is saying, now listen, I'm ordering yourself. I promised you that I'll get you to the other side.
Thank you.
I didn't tell you it's going to be a cakewalk.
All right.
So when you begin to go through, you think something is wrong with you.
Yes.
And God is saying, the only reason you're going through is because I like what you've been showing me. You've been getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you've been on your face. I like what you're showing me. When they talk about you, you turn the other cheek. I like what you've been showing me. See, now they can't promote you. They can't reward you. Only God is a lifter in your life. Has God ever lifted you out of some mess? Won't God bring you out of some stuff? Everything in your life is turned upside down. And then God steps in and he makes your crooked places. I don't know why he does that. He says, that's my grace. That's my grace. See, wherever grace is, always watch out for favor. Wherever grace is, always watch out for favor.
All right.
Favor is the thing that gets you a job when the resume doesn't match. Favor is the thing that allow you to get promoted when everybody else is being laid off. Favor favor is the thing that allows you to find your Mr. Right or Miss Right when everybody else is going through rocky relationships. Favor is the thing that keeps you when everybody around you is blowing their brains out and everybody around you is taking all kind of pills for A, B, C, and D, E, F, and everything else. But God says, but I'm going to give you a peace beyond understanding. Have you ever been going through something and you have more of a peace in your mess than you did on your good days? Have you ever been going through something, the account was on zero, but God was on overflow? Have you ever been going through something and everybody walked out and then God walked in and he says, now that's me. You feel my peace in the midst of your pain.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God.
Saul looked at David and says, if I don't shut him down now, I'll never get him. And so watch what the Bible says this morning when we read this. The Bible says, now God says to David, he says, behold, he says, I'm going to give you your enemies right in your hands. You get that? That's good news, isn't it? When God says, I'm going to give you your enemy right in your hand. But watch how God messed David up and he says to him, do what you please with him. You don't get it. Because what you'll do is say, God, kill them because they tried to kill me. David says, I touch not the anointed and do not profit no harm. David is saying, I know he crazy. I know he tried to shut me down. But David says, God, vengeance is yours. David says, I don't have to touch Saul because when it's my time to shine, you can't put that light out. I don't have to touch Saul because, listen, your enemies will destroy themselves. You don't have to fight. All you have to do is keep your faith. That's all you got to do. You don't have to worry about how God is going to silence your critics. He's already done that. See, but it takes all of that to make you who you are today. Every bit of pain that you've been through, that pain was for your good. Every bit of embarrassment you've been through, that embarrassment was for your good. Every time you've been broken like that, brokenness was for your good. Listen, God makes all things for your good.
Amen.
He makes all things for your good. Because watch this, God is always trying to move you closer to your purpose. So he says to David, do with them what you please. See, the setup is, where's your heart? I know what they tried to do to you, but where's your heart? Where's your heart? Have you ever met someone and they were going through something and they needed someone to forgive them or to favor them? And then as soon as they received it, they walked down the street. And then instead of treating someone like someone just graced them, they were the worst person. Let me move it closer. Have you ever had a coworker that was working with you and y'all were tight until they got a promotion? Now they got a promotion and they act like they own the company. That's what people do sometimes. Sometimes we forget where we came from. And so now God will put you in a position to show you what's really on the inside of you. You used to talk about the other supervisors, not that your crazy self doing worse than what they were doing. Because it's in your heart. Whatever's in your heart is coming out, baby. See, you can fool man some of the time, but you can't fool God. So God will always put your little mess on display. He'll always put it so somebody else can see it. And when somebody else see it, they'll understand or you'll understand they never was 100 in the first place. See, God is a God that will always show you what you did and where. Y'all know what that is, 100. Being real. Because you know, in life, you can find a lot of folks that's just not real. You can find folks in life that as long as you don't need something, they'll give you something. Your cousins, you'll find a lot of folks that when things are great in your life, oh, what a friend. They call you all the time. Mess around and lose two checks and see who called you then. Man may give up, but thank God he'll never leave me. Thank God he'll never forsake me. Thank God, in the midst of going through something, I got a Savior that's going to stand by my side. Thank God that in the midst of our troubles all around me, I'm not worried about what they're going to do. I'm concerned about the anointing that is in my life. When you anointed to do something, I says when you anointed to do something, it doesn't require a lot of effort from you. It's not by will. It's not by might. Certainly not by your power. See, the anointing is God. So God says, I want to bless you this way. And understand that if God gives you a vision for something, He has to give you provision. You don't hear it. If God show you a house, God got to pay for that house. If God sent you that new car, you ain't got to pay for it at the end or the first day of month. God gets your car. I lift it up to you. You do what you need to do. If they take it from me, they took it from you. But I'm tied up and tangled up in Him. I'm all right. Hell may break loose around me, but I got a peace beyond understanding. I'm not worried about that thing. And see, when God breaks us free from stuff and people, then we can live. You got to move beyond what they think about you, man. Because they may think highly of you today, and tomorrow they gone. I'm not talking about they thinking about going. They gone already. So you got to do what God is calling you to do. You got to please God and not man. See, what David understood is that David's elevation wasn't connected to Saul. His elevation was connected to his obedience to God. You get that? His obedience to God. So God gave him an opportunity to destroy Saul. He took his knife and he cut the skirt, just a little bit of David's coat. Cut it off. Watch this. He was feeling bad because he cut the clothing of the man who wanted to cut his throat. You get that? Have God ever dropped somebody in your hand? And you could have destroyed them. And you thought about it. The mere thought scared you. And so instead of you taking that person out, you bless the person. Because that's what's in your heart. And your neighbor said, fool, why are you doing that? Fool, why are you taking back? Fool, why are you did this? Fool, why are you loaned money? And you said something about the love of God that is inside of me, that is running deeper than any revenge could ever run. It's something about you. What God says, I trust you. And though you had your enemies in your hand, you decided to do nothing. The sweet revenge in closing is when you allow God to work it out for you. Watch this. You can only do certain things to get somebody back. That's all you can do. So if you leave it alone and turn it over to God, there's no limits to what God can do. No limits whatsoever. God will take your enemies and He'll make them your footstool. God will make the person that hates you, make them bless you. See, God has all powers in His hands. While you keep focusing on what they're doing, God is saying, just look at me. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. God is saying, before I created you, He says, I knew the purpose that I had in mind for you. God is saying, before you even got started, He says, I knew I was going to take you somewhere, and where I'm going to take you, you got to go through some trials and some tribulations and up the mountains and down in the valleys. He says, but at the end of that, I'm going to bless you, because that's the kind of God that we serve. See, the sweet revenge is when your enemies who thought that you were through discover that God has saw you through your situation. Isn't it a wonderful thing when people count you out and God says, no, I'm just calling you? Isn't it a wonderful thing when people say that you're through and God is saying, I'm just getting started in your life? Isn't it a wonderful thing when you look around and everything that you've been through and everybody that has walked out of your life, now all of a sudden they gotta watch your elevation. See, that's why you have to be careful when you're on the top, because the same people that you pass going up are the same people that you pass coming down. So don't you look at me. Don't you look at me and judge me. But you saw me smoking some weed yesterday. Because I saw you drinking beer. So don't look at me because you know about my little adultery and I know about your addiction. See, we all in the same boat in this place. We all need the love of God. We all saved by grace. We all need God to deliver us. Had it not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? Now give him some praise for delivering you. Give God some praise for bringing you out. Give God some praise for forgiving you. Give God some praise for favoring you. Give God some praise for your salvation. Give him praise for bringing you through the horrible situation and like God did that for you. The sweet revenge is that when they thought that you were going to fall off, and you still standing, and you still giving God some praise. Even when you don't feel like praising him, it's something about the inside of you. Even when you don't want to praise, your hand just automatically go up. Even when you don't feel like praising him, sometimes 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you are on your bending knees, you still praising him. Because even though you're going to face some things in life, what you understand is that God is ordering your steps, and here you go trying to make a way out of no way, and surely goodness and mercy following you. No, baby, you don't deserve it, but goodness and mercy follow you. No, don't you brag about where you are. Don't you brag about what you have, because surely goodness and mercy did that for you. See, everything that you have, you owe it to God. All to him I owe. The most important thing that I owe God is my life. That's what I owe God, the most important thing. Stand with me this morning if you're not standing. Listen to this. If I owe him my life, it's not that he wants to hurt me. It's that he wants to give me eternal life. So he says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. He says, forever will you be with me. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is believe and confess. I want to talk to that person here this morning as the deacons come forth. I want to speak to you this morning that doesn't have a church home. I want to speak to you this morning that you need a platform, a church that you can do ministry from. I know you think you can stay at home and watch TV, but you can't. You can't. Forsake not thyself, the assembly of saints. If you're here and you need a church home, we invite you to come. Whether you don't know Christ, if that's what you want this morning, or you do know Christ, and you just come. Come on, baby. Let's go to it. God wants to favor you. This could be your season. God wants to favor you. You want to come? You need a church home? We're looking for you. You don't know Christ is your personal Savior? You come. If you have a wonderful relationship with Christ, if you just need a place to worship, you come. Will there be one this morning or others this morning? Not sure about your salvation? We invite you to come. What if you die today? Where are you going? What if you die today? Where are you going? Well, if you went in the church, we'll save you. No, but that's step one. Not being a part of the church certainly won't help you. If you die right now, where are you going? Where are you going. If you're not sure about your destination, this is about salvation this morning. Not about friends and family. This is about salvation. If you thought enough to invite your friends and family, then sick enough to lead them to Christ. With every other this morning. Not sure about your salvation? Need the church home? Thank you.